How about that glorious weekend? Oh, my word.
Lovely.
Was that all of our weekend's claim to fame? Everyone got their porches and patios set up the earliest day. You know how we do ice out?
Yep.
Porch patio out, April 13th. Might have been one of the earliest.
Mine was pontoon boat in the lake.
That's
out.
Early.
That's early. Wow.
You got ice out and pontoon out.
Unbelievable. And there was no dock to put it to go out.
So you just kind of had to hold it there in the water?
Jeff had to take off his pants and he's in his underwear. Standing in the freezing cold water, launching me out on the pontoon boat. It was very funny.
Yeah, good for him, though.
Yeah, we got it in the water.
Good for you guys, yeah.
It was fun. I just want to say, wow, is it dry in Wisconsin? If you think it's dry here, it is like...
It's going to be dry everywhere. There is no snow.
We need rain so bad. Hopefully this week we're going to get some good rain.
There was a rain out in Mound near on Tonk, or not rain, a fire out on Lake Minnetonka. Did you see that on Saturday or Friday, I believe it was? But like right by Seton Channel there, you know, they have all the cat, like they were on fire. There was pictures all over like the local area there that it just caught on fire due to being it so dry.
So your weekend claim to fame is getting that pontoon in the water on April 13th?
I don't know that we've ever done it that early.
I know, because usually, like, the ice has just gotten
power washed it, changed the oil. I mean, it was a busy day.
Yeah. Well, my weekend claim to fame was I had to do one of Casey Schneider jobs. And had to document it. Well, I didn't know Casey was documenting it. So we have a three-season porch. And when I tell you a three-season porch with screens gets dirty over the winter. It's just screen. So everything is blowing in all.
Yeah.
I mean, he usually paints it every year. Mm-hmm. He power washes it, but he's a one-armed slingshot Bandit. Man. No good.
No, he hasn't been good for 6 months.
He's no good. So his son and his girlfriend come over to be the muscle to take everything out of there, all this stuff. And then Casey's like, I'm going to have you spray wash. And I just power wash. And I just looked at him in horror.
Oh, absolute horror. It is not hard.
And I said,
you're such a kept woman.
Let me go get my shower cap.
You're such a kept woman.
I got to protect the hair.
I know.
So I went upstairs, got the shower cap. By the time I came down, he had done it himself. So I dodged a bullet. And
that's
then
a good move, actually.
Yeah, but then he said, now I need you to scrub with this scrubby thing. And I said, on the floors? And he goes,
Cinderella.
She has led such a productive life.
Yeah, see, these kind of where these spots are, I'm not going to be able to paint this year. So we need to get everything really clean. And then you need to squeegee off the. And I mean, I'm horrified, but I realize I want the porch open. I would like to read out there later. You know, it's so wonderful when it's all said and done. And so he's filming me.
He was laughing. He laughs like a dog in a cartoon that I can't think of who it is. But go watch it. It's on Twitter at Lori and Julia or on our Instagram or Facebook. It's so funny because his laugh, Lori, he gets such a kick out of you like doing something. I mean, like, I look at that and I think, well, whatever. I power washed the garage floor at the cabin.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Who cares? We did the
You're a manly woman, Julia.
Is that what I
mean? Yeah, you're a manly woman.
I mean, so
woman.
I look at it and you're like, I had to do labor. And I'm thinking, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that labor?
Yes, Julia. It is unusual. And I said, how do you do this by yourself every year?
Carries, oh my God, you're so funny.
Carries everything out, you know, all these big things, these big tables and all these things. And then you got to wash those things. And then,
Lori.
And then scrub and then paint. And usually he does it when I'm at work. So
you don't have to witness it.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, look at what your life's going to be like when you retire.
Right. Get used to it. You're going to have to help or at least see it happening. Grant, what about you?
I had a very interesting Friday. I loved it. I went down to the Target Center, watched Timberwolves win a great game on Friday
night.
Like
only by a few points, right?
Yeah, it was a close game throughout the game, so it was a fun atmosphere, unlike the game on Sunday, which really kind of put everybody into a bad mood, but we can talk about that later with sports if we get into it. But went to Timberwolves game Friday, then I, with my buddies who, I went with another couple, they're big jam band fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not the biggest, you know, I like a jam band when they crescendo up to the top and they start to get going a little bit, but these 10-minute songs of... No disrespect, but it's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll stay for like two or three songs. I left after 1.5 songs, and that was like 45 minutes because they're so long.
Yeah.
Okay, that's too long.
But Fish is playing the Sphere.
Yes, they are.
Only doing 4 dates because the experience of going to a Fish concert, they don't want to dilute it because it'll be a long show to begin with.
Okay, they are not going to get enough people to come, so they're only doing 4
Maybe
dates.
That's it.
I'm sorry. I don't know what diluting it's going to be. Right. They don't have enough of following for people to pay for this, but to play for the Sphere pricing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
But that was interesting. Saturday, gorgeous day out. I didn't do anything productive other than watch a little golf in the Twins, little doubleheader, which was fun. And then Sunday, got into. I was productive on Sunday. Went out and helped out. My parents are back from Florida, so they're getting kind of. Hey, Mom, they're getting everything kind of like moved in and you know, not moved in, but just back set up. So I helped them out. So it was a good weekend. But weather was fantastic.
Oh, was it ever?
Windows open all weekend, right? It was
beautiful.
It was great.
Beautiful. We're not supposed to get used to it, according to Ken Marlowe.
I know.
We're going to have 50s this next weekend.
You said you wanted rain.
We need it this week.
Especially tomorrow and Wednesday. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Good.
But we're not going
below 50 this week, so that's okay.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Jeez.
Okay, well, we're giving away tickets to see Nicki Minaj, a pair of tickets every day this week. Her pink... It's called Pink, the title of her concert tour.
I think that was her album.
I think you're right.
Yep.
It is...
I'm a petty-ass bitch, don't mind me. I'm a petty-ass bitch, don't mind me.
All right. Saturday, April 27th, 2024. We're going to, at the end of our show today, we're going to play a little Loj quiz.
Love it.
Of things we
don't we do the Paris Hilton that's hot? Sounder to call?
We're not doing that.
We're just
gonna
have a little fun.
You forgot to have opinion when we were thinking of it an hour and a half ago.
I was probably editing my fantastic video.
That's right. I would think that was about the right time. Yes.
Uh-huh, I agree. And so we're going to play the Loj quiz. And so just if you can listen to our show today, we're going to talk about, you know, we'll have 2 truths and a lie, basically, of what we talked about
today.
That's
right. Yeah.
And then we'll have callers towards the end of the show.
Love it.
All right. Should we just get going and come back with a story we can't get enough of? Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Love that song. Okay, I have to tell you before we get into our story we can't get enough of. We just got like the best email from Donna. She said, it was a beautiful weekend and I treated myself to listening to the Nadia Cupcake author. And I listened to the entire book club podcast, starting with hers and on through the week. All the books that we had last week because we were busy.
Yeah.
Then drove to Nadia Bake's cupcake shop and purchase 8 cupcakes. For a couple of friends and for me to taste. Because remember, she has the Just for Summer cupcake through the month of April that's capped off with like an orange supreme creamsicle dress topping or something.
Right.
All delicious, including gluten-free. I also purchased the book Life's Too Short, one of Abby Jimenez's books that she mentioned she won the awards and the others, but they were out of the big book, you know, just for the summer. So then she drove to the new women's, over to a bookshop. It wasn't the new women's shop, but a bookshop in Minneapolis, and bought all the books that we talked about in the last week in the book club.
Nice. Thank
you. She was so happy. And she just says, I want you to know, I love the book club. And I just thought that was so great. And the book that Abby Jimenez was on, I got a couple things from friends too, like, oh my gosh, it's sold out at Target. I got to go get it. The book was just for the summer. Mm-hmm. So Abby Jimenez, Nadia Cupcake, the Life Just for the Summer Cupcake is a limited edition through April. So I just thought that was kind of sweet. And then we all got the delight of seeing Ryan Gosling and Chris Stapleton.
Well, Ryan Gosling is a national treasure. He understands the assignment.
Yes.
Every time he shows up for something.
So good.
I don't feel like he was like this before Barbie, though. I felt like he was a little bit more held back. Do you think? Maybe he didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah. I think the fact that even that he played Ken and got so much crap about it before, during, and after, even though he did get a nomination here and there, he turned it in this epic performance. Then he does the Oscars, where he basically steals the Oscar for Barbie and gives it to her because it's the only thing anyone will remember of the 2024 Oscars.
Totally.
And I mean, Chris Stapleton had two great numbers. He was in one of the skit, but the cold open, if you didn't see it, we wanted to play it, but there's a lot of euphemisms. There's a lot of
visuals.
But Kate McKinnon, who played Weird Barbie, was in the cold open. And it was basically like it was this government committee on UFOs. And it's Kate McKinnon's character, Ryan Gosling, and Sarah Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they're sitting there. And Kate McKinnon is sort of this Southern, you know, schlemiesel, and
she always plays an odd duck.
An odd duck.
She does. And she always just plays an odd duck.
She goes, well, and she sprawled on her seat. Listen, I was by the lake taking a horse bath, and out of nowhere, I get sucked up by a giant vacuum cleaner hose that had on land on the ship. So bandless, mind you. So my juicer and my deucer on full display. And I see my old buddies, the gray aliens with big, dumb eyes. And then Ryan Gosling tells his story, but it was snort, laugh out loud, funny, very visual. We posted it for you. It was maybe the best cold open.
Hysterical.
It was hysterical. And then for his monologue, Gosling comes out, of course, looking like a snack and a half.
And
I love these Gucci clothes he's wearing.
I do too. It's and 70s is just screaming.
Very 70s. Like even his shoes, chain. The gold, he wore them on Fallon. They had a buckle and a ribbon on him, loafers with white socks, and he's making it work, and he promises not to talk about his Barbie performance since he and Ken had to break up. And then instead he sings about it, and he's like sunglasses and gets the fur coat. So we have a little bit. He performs a version of Taylor Swift's All Too Well before being interrupted by his Fall Guy co-star Emily Blunt and also his award show buddy, because she was in Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm. Barbieheimer last summer.
Both and so them, they were always at the same things for the whole of award season. But she's mad that he's not promoting the upcoming movie. And she bashes him over the head with some chairs.
Yes.
And that's beer where bottles. It left off, yeah. And is this where we have
Right up to there. So she comes in to kind of get him, snap him out of the Ken mode. Breaks a beer bottle over his head, like you said, breaks a chair. Mm-hmm. And then it comes in right here, and we can play it from there. Okay. So she's trying to tell him, let's move on.
All right? Ken is dead.
But Emily, you were in Oppenheimer last summer. Exactly. I mean, I know it was an inferior movie, but...
I mean, it wasn't. We, like, won everything, actually.
But did you win people's hearts? I don't think so.
He's so good.
You know, don't you ever miss it?
Father of the atom bomb and a bottle of Jack. I used to be the alcoholic wife of a dude in a hat, talking to Albert Einstein, sipping a margarita with Sir Christopher Nolan in the back of that guitar.
And I miss all my kids.
And I miss Killian Murphy.
And you really should see the fall guy. But I just can't seem to let Ken go. Cause then I get back in 2023. With the Bob and I'm a summer, it was just you and me.
Drunk on beer,
nobody here.
Now it's time to wish
Ken farewell. We were Kitty and Ken,
and I wish you could have seen us.
You were loyal to the end,
and your guy had no penis.
He looks at her like, thank you. Yeah.
Must confess, we're a mess to impress. Now but it's time to wish Ken,
Kitty,
both of us.
They can sing, yeah. Both of them. It blows me away how many, because, you know, they started out theater in the high school.
I mean, and that's not an easy song to sing. And Taylor took the time from Coachella to tweet about it. And she said, all too well, Ryan and Emily's version, this monologue and song is everything, all in caps.
It
was so good. It was so clever. And basically every sketch Ryan was in, he breaks out laughing. And I guess Lorne Michaels doesn't really
care
for that.
He doesn't like it. No, right.
But
right.
He's softened up about it. I think he should go with it because during the Beavis and Butthead skit, it was...
Heidi Gardner was the girl who was being like a news anchor, and she was interviewing Kenan...
Thompson.
Thompson, who I think is the funniest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. She's interviewing him about some scientific thing, and behind her is sitting Ryan Gosling looking like Beavis. And she could not get it together.
No, it was Butthead.
Oh, Butthead first. I never watched
Ryan
those shows.
First with the blonde pompadour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's just like, and Kenan's guy, he's like, that guy, you gotta move him. He just
looks like Beavis.
Yeah, and Beavis. And then, whichever.
Butthead was the blonde one, which was Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he moves, and he looks very much like him with his hair. And then Beavis comes in with that mouth.
Oh,
and she
couldn't stop laughing
because she hadn't turned around when she was reading the cue things. And then when she turned around, she just burst out laughing because he looks
so much
like him.
It's fun to watch people fall apart. It makes it funnier watching them try to hold it together. And Ryan lost it in every single one. I think that's fun. And Lorne Michaels fired someone. Was it? Who couldn't hold it and always would laugh and they got
Fallon
like, oh.
would always do that, but he didn't get fired for that. But he could never keep his cool.
Who? Which one?
Fallon. He had a real problem. I mean, which actually I appreciate. I love when
they
break
characters. I think it's funny.
It was fun. I don't think there was one dog episode. And even on Weekend Update, when Caitlin Clark stopped by to give Michael Shea crap. About it. And she just, all she had to do was be deadpan and read the cue cards, and she delivered, and they played back all the times that Michael Che has made fun of women's basketball.
Hysterical.
It was really
And apparently
good.
People were loving her outfit or something at the after party.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark.
She had on, she had on leather pants, like a white t-shirt.
Really pretty pink acrylic nails. Her nails look
and
awesome.
Then some black and white Adidas.
Nike. Yeah, no, they're Nikes. Yeah, they're Air Max. They were just, it was a black and white to match the black and white top.
Yeah.
Looked great. Yeah, her nails were all, she
it's
looked
posted,
good.
But it was really, I mean, I bet the ratings are going to be huge.
That was hysterical.
Because Chris Stapleton also is a musical guest.
Fantastic.
Hysterical.
Singing
it was a
Dan
fun night.
Wilson co-penned White Horse.
Yes, he
the
did.
First song.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, check out that cold open if you need to laugh today.
Mm-hmm. It was good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Lori and Julia here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions. Okay, so I like to look through design magazines. I like to look at, you know, what's happening in the home world and everything. But you
what
know,
is happening?
Well, a lot. Go to hammernix.com because you can see so many different photos in their gallery. You can actually put in your home pictures of your rooms where that you want. Yeah. And then upload the software. It's really easy. You don't upload it. You click into theirs.
I figured it out. So if I can figure it out.
Anybody can. Yes. And you can just kind of see how different things would work in your home. It is so fun and interactive. But I think going to their stores is even better because they have so much selection and choice and things you wouldn't even think of. And their designers are there to help you stay in your budget, figure out what works together. Go to their stores. They're gorgeous and so inspiring. Hammernix, they're in a New Hope in Hudson and in St. Paul. You will love them. Okay, so we were kind of thinking not many people would show up to Coachella because there was kind of some early buzz, like it's not going to be this big this year. Au contraire.
Oh, my gosh. Au contraire. This first weekend had a lot of stuff going
on. It did.
I guess the number one thing was Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were everywhere. He picked her up. She had a trucker hat of sporting his podcast name on forward and backwards. She took a picture that people dubbed the icon and the con. It was Teresa Giudice
from the Real Housewives of New Jersey in her pink, hot pink outfit and cowboy hat.
Yeah, and Taylor, but honestly, I mean, who needs a bodyguard when you got Travis Kelce? He just like picked her up like she was a feather.
Aww.
And they were off on the side section when Jack Antonoff was playing because bleachers were there and dancing and singing and kissing to Roller Coaster and all the other good songs, but there was a lot. We posted kind of all the looks. If you're wondering what does one wear at a Coachella, one of the things I thought was interesting, one of the photos we saw posted by Paris Hilton, not posted by Paris Hilton, but posted by Kyle Richards. Mm-hmm. It's Kyle Richards and her niece Paris Hilton at Coachella together having fun, playing skee ball, and dancing and singing to Kesha. And if you'll remember, it was just a mere 2 weeks ago that Paris Hilton,
maybe a month ago,
called out Maurizio for
Kyle's husband,
after he claimed on Buying Beverly Hills that he got kind of screwed by her dad. And she said, frankly, we're all sick of you using the Hilton name every chance you get to plug your lame show. It's enough already. My father's a consummate gentleman. So Kyle's definitely getting divorced is what I took out
of
that picture.
Yes, I would agree. Okay, can we just go back to Travis Kelce's fashions?
Yes.
He had on these Madras looking pants, like blue, light blue and dark blue striped pants that I thought were kind of funny looking. He just looks like he has fun. He's got on a flannel
festival
shirt.
You wear festival gear. There's more.
Nothing matches.
Yeah. And that would be totally very festival, very Coachella. You could mix everything up. It seems like more of the women wear a lot of
skimpy clothes
and a lot of netting and that kind of thing. And but it was, you know, didn't look like it was ungodly hot based on how people were dressed.
Correctamundo.
There's one more weekend, but when I saw the picture of Teresa and
Taylor,
I was just like, oh my. Yeah. And then she, of course, was with Louis.
Mm-hmm, I saw.
And I, you know, anyway.
Well, here are a couple things. Okay, so.
And he posted it.
Louis,
he said, two absolute queens. Okay, Taylor Swift and Teresa Giudice are not on the same level. One is an icon, one is a con and a reality housewife, okay, and a cookbook author. But he writes, two absolute queens, Taylor Swift and my stunning wife. Queens, blessed, girl power. He is nauseating.
Listen, if I got a picture with you with Taylor Swift, I would say, "What? Look at the divas." I mean, I would say it too. Of course I would. I don't know what I'd say, but I'd be like, oh my God.
Lori's with a superstar. Yeah.
But I would say something. So, I mean, in a heartbeat, I would post that thing.
And then Gwen Stefani took the stage with No Doubt. They haven't played together for 9 years. And she had the tartan bralette and black fishnets, kind of her No Doubt look with the bantu knots in her hair.
Olivia Rodrigo joined her.
Yeah, they sang on Bathwater, the 2000 ska No Doubt song called Bathwater, which was on their album Return of Saturn.
I don't know it at all.
You would know it if you heard it. And anyway, people really liked it. There were 100,000 people for that performance. I think that was Friday night. And then the other thing that happened is Kesha made a surprise appearance during Renee Rapp's performance yesterday afternoon. And Renee Rapp, she was in the Broadway version of Mean Girls, and she's in the movie.
Yeah, okay.
And so she introduced Kesha as the hottest person on earth. And then they did TikTok, which came out in 2010. And there's a line in the song where wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. And because of the investigation, multiple assault allegations, Kesha's whole horrible experience with Dr. Luke and being, you know, screwed by her record company, people were wondering how she was going to change it. And so wake up in the morning like bleep P. Diddy.
Yep.
And the crowd went crazy.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
There seems like there's a lot of collabs while people are there, because a lot of people go. Like Billie Eilish went on stage with Lana Del Rey and they sang a song together.
Lana Del Rey made her entrance on the back of a motorcycle. It was just iconic. She came through the
crowd. Why haven't you gone to this one? I bet you guys go.
Maybe now we would be able to have time, because I'd be able to figure it out, because there is an
Army base.
An Air Force base, I think, at 29 Palms. And so right by where the festival is. And so we wouldn't have to pay $1,000 for a Motel 6 out in the desert. We could stay on base.
You could stay on base.
That's
and you know how to make the bed.
That's how we stayed in Bonnaroo. We stayed at, I think it was Eglin Air Force Base.
If anyone wants to tell their kids something smart to do, get in the National Guard and stay in after you serve.
There you go.
Right. Stay in. Brittany, are you listening?
So she makes the entrance on a motorcycle, and then Billie Eilish joins her for the song Video Games, which has a prominent place in the hit series sci-fi show Three Body Problems.
Oh, did you finish that?
Yeah, I finished that, and I've gone on to another video show game called
Fallout.
Is it good?
Interesting. It's you know, it's a video game. It's like The Last of Us. It's post-apocalyptic. You got to watch Ripley though if you haven't finished that one.
I tried.
My favorite thing about
Ripley
about the Coachella this weekend, because you can watch it on YouTube.
Yes,
that's a nice thing.
Man, I love that.
If you can if you want to just sit at home, you can throw it. They throw live all the different stages. But I caught John Batiste.
Was he there?
Yeah, he's there, and he brought out a melodica, which is like a piano that you blow into.
Yes.
And I learned about this because I researched it afterwards. And then he started doing a song, and you heard it, and it was. It's a song, a popular song from like 1998, and it was Back That Thing Up with Juvenile, and then Juvenile came out and rapped along. I mean, John is such a performer. It was so cool because he was playing this thing, and I'm like, what is he doing? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I know that tune. And you're a big fine woman, won't you back that thing up, you know? And then all of a sudden, out comes Juvenile, and it was just, that was a really cool surprise that was kind of like, didn't get as much publicity as all these other surprises.
Say the name of that thing again.
Melodica.
Because we called it the piano flute.
Yeah, piano flute.
Because he was on, Dan Wilson, you know, co-wrote the song that John Batiste was nominated for the Oscars.
Oh, really?
The American Symphony, I think.
Yeah, so he talked about that. Oh, and it might have been off air when we were talking about it, because John Batiste used to be Stephen Colbert's sidekick band.
Yep.
Forever, and he'd always play that melodica.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that I wasn't there for that day.
But. He got, you know, he co-wrote with Chris Stapleton
on White Horse
and that won the Grammy last year. And then he co-wrote with John Batiste, so he went to both of the things. But
genius.
Pretty cool.
Grimes. And then Doja Cat, people were going crazy for her extra performance, everything she was doing with the wig and... just people were, that was kind of like people like they're loving their Doja.
Grimes had a bad night.
She did.
She had major, major technical problems. Like the sound was off, this was off. And she said in her head it was just not working out. And she apologized on her ex-boyfriend's social media platform and said she'll have all these technical things fixed by next weekend. But she had a lot of problems.
I always forget she...
is sinks.
I couldn't agree more. I didn't even remember that. But yes, that was a technical problem. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
But I guess like the No Doubt set was really, that was like a big, ripped.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love it if No Doubt showed up when they play the Harriet Island, that Minnesota Yacht Club Festival, because Gwen Stefani is the headline, I think, on Saturday night of that festival. And if they just would,
do you have tickets yet? Have those gone on sale?
Oh yeah, they're on sale.
Do you have tickets? Have you got into
I have to see if I'm in town.
I was going to say, you got a lot
of
stuff.
Lori's, we're leaving the radio waves and leaving the state of Minnesota.
Call her Calendar Connie now.
Right. Yeah, right. Thank you, Grant. Yeah. Thank you,
Calendar
Grant.
Connie.
Thank you for that. My. Okay. Oh, gosh, that's funny. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. And let's talk about the exciting things that are happening now in the month of April. You know, we've been singing the praises of Carole King. Beautiful, the Carole King musical. It's so just good. So good. The Pioneer Press loved it. The Star Tribune loved it. We loved it. This big Broadway musical is a cast of 29 singers and dancers. And they tell her story and magically weave music and dancing throughout the night. Carole King started writing hits when she was just 16. Then she married Gary Goffin.
Jerry.
Mm-hmm. And together they wrote so many songs for so many people. Through struggle, she finds her own voice.
Yeah, I mean, some of the songs, the Drifters, the Shirelles, the Righteous Brothers, Little Eva, Neil Sedaka. I mean, you know these songs. And plus, you know, Tapestry. It ends at Tapestry. It's amazing. Think about planning a fun date night or girls' night out. Go to chanhassendt.com for tickets.
Okay, so when we left here Friday, Ripley had just come out on Netflix. Last week sometime on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So later Friday night, we did stuff, and then later we started watching Ripley maybe like 10:15.
Too late. That's too late to watch a black and white noir-ish.
Really was.
Noirish movie or TV series that also requires a lot of reading because we're working on our conversational Italian while we're watching the show. Because it all takes place in Italy. You have to not watch it at a sleepy time.
Right. I knew what was going to happen, kind of, and then I just got angst. I get antsy.
Yeah, there's been other iterations. Of course, the most famous is The Talented Mr. Ripley, with Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon, Jude Law, and it's based on the 1955 Patricia Highsmith novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley. I think there was also a movie with John Malkovich was in it, but it's always the same, the core story. A wealthy man enlists this guy who's a con man, a confidence man, his son's distant acquaintance to travel to Italy and woo his errant playboy son back to the United States, where his father owns a shipbuilding business. And he'll pay Tom to do this, but rather than returning Dickie to his family, an envious Tom kills him, assumes his identity, and other murders follow. And the whole thing is filmed in black and white. It'll be studied in film school because I think of the way they film things in it. Just the guy, the Steve Zerillian who created it, is just, it really is the most beautiful TV show I think I've ever seen. It's filmed in a Trani, which is the tiniest village on the Amalfi Coast, right next to the town called Amalfi. Then you go to Rome. Then we go back to Trani. Then we go to Palermo, Sicily, and then to Venice. And it is so stunning. And they also, this filmmaker, the director and creator of the show, the Steve Zerillian, are you familiar with the artist Caravaggio? He...
Boy, you're really impressing us right now. Grant, did you watch this?
Ripley? No, I have not watched Ripley. I was into Fallout this weekend.
Fallout. That got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, the painter, Caravaggio, I mean, if you've gone to any museum, he does, they're always very, like, one of the more famous paintings he's done is where The guy that's killed John the Baptist and has mm-hmm. his head in his hand.
Yes.
He does very realistic, almost supernaturally scary paintings, yeah. like 15th century. And his big thing, and it's part of the story, is that he uses color, black and white, what they call chiaroscuro, which is using black and white. So often when you see Caravaggio painting, it will be very much dark, and then they'll look like there's a light on somebody's face or a baby or something like that. But it kind of makes this perfect accompaniment, because everywhere that Tom goes, one of the things that Dickie's introduced him to is, anywhere you go in Italy, seek out a Caravaggio painting. They can be in churches, museum. The John the Baptist beheaded head, that's at the National Gallery in London. But I don't know if, because the guy who created the show, everything, the black and white thing, that's why he filmed it in black mm-hmm. and white. But it's excellent. It is so
Did you watch good. All of it?
All of it.
How many episodes?
8.
Yeah, we started it too late at night. I couldn't even make it through the first one.
Yeah. You have to read it. You have to kind of pay attention.
What's going to happen, and I have too much angst.
It doesn't matter because you cannot believe what happens. And also, Casey and I were talking about this. It's interesting how you kind of, first of all, Andrew Scott is so good in this role. And even though he is an awful person, there's also a charmingness about him, and you wonder what happened to him, and part of you wants him to get away with it.
Okay.
I have never seen so many good-looking, interesting-looking Italians being employed on a television show since we saw White Lotus, the one that took place in Italy. Just a lot of characters. It's definitely an elegant, mind-blowing series.
All right.
But it is not Action Jackson. It's all psychological.
Yeah.
And again, you know, work on your conversational Italian, and you're traveling through Italy, and Elle Fanning is in it, and she's quite good she's playing basically the Gwyneth Paltrow character.
Okay, well, Fallout has 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Ripley says 85%.
Yeah, we started watching Fallout.
Grant, tell us about that.
That's great.
I would say right now, Fallout is, because it's such the video game is an open world concept mm-hmm. where I don't want to over explain it, but it's just, think of it, open world. You can go anywhere you want and all over the place, and there's all kinds of different sanctions of people, different groups of people. There's people that live in these vaults from this up. There's a war that came upon.
And nuclear war.
A nuclear war, exactly. Nuclear war. So people had to fall out and go into these shelters, and then some people stayed above, and it's 200 years past the war, and it's how all of these groups kind of interact, and how once you cross the line into another one, you might not be... It's like a gang-type atmosphere and how people are developing, and you kind of... But right now, the show is taking you through each of these main characters. So, like, the first episode, I believe, was about Lucy, who's the vault person, and then there was Maximus was the second episode. Lori got into 3 and 4. I didn't get that far, but it's
Walter
setting
Goggins
it up.
Walter Goggins is in this.
Yeah.
Walton.
Walton, we always... Yeah,
Walton, who played Boyd Crowder on Justified.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is his first lead role in a series.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, he's never been a lead in a series. I think Variety or Slate had a great one-on-one, and he sat in the makeup chair for quite a long time to get his look as the ghoul. But you can very much tell more than I could with The Last of Us, where I could see where the video game part of this comes from. This storytelling.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Last of Us is more like an apocalyptic show.
This has
a video game world.
World, and it's very. I mean, whoever created the sets and the CGI, and when there's blood, when there's killing, it's
gruesome.
It's very. It's like stylized, like how it is on these video games.
Yeah.
You know,
splatters,
and very. Kapow and all of that, but I thought it was really...
Walter's look is perfect for his character.
Walton. You know,
Walton, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Walter,
I wanted to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I have to just mention before, you like it.
I like it.
It's got a high score.
Yeah.
New to streaming that has been out for a while, Argylle, the movie that they spent a lot of money on that the critics hated. For 32, the audience likes it 72%. Critics gave it to 33%. That is new on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
And the other new to streaming is Bob Marley, One Love. And that's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to see those in the movie theater, check them out. And still, none of us have watched the one that won, you know, Redhead, what's it called? Let me think. Poor Things. None of us have watched it.
No, I'm not going to.
I'm not going to.
I refuse. I
have too many friends that hated it.
And
I'm going to trust a couple of my close friends who we feel we like a lot of the same things. I just,
One Love, by the way, recently passed Elton John's biopic, Rocket Man, for the top, for the fifth highest grossing biopic of all time. Mm-hmm. So it's doing very, very well. It's got grossed $607 million.
Wow. That one I'd watch on streaming.
Yeah. Or no, excuse me, $607,000 in its first week and then it and then $96 million in the US.
I'd watch that on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
So that one I just thought if people want to watch that one, that'd be pretty good.
And Reality Housewives fans, get out your handkerchief. True Love is Dead, Real Housewife of Miami star Alexia Nepola, her husband Todd has filed for divorce after 2 years of marriage. Ooh. So those of us who watch Miami are not surprised because she found out when she married him that he leased the big fancy high-rise apartment building and they needed to move and find a new place.
What did you call him, a convenience man? What is it, con man? A what?
Confidence man.
Confidence man.
Anyway, he's a real estate broker and I always think it's funny when like somebody of that age is a renter.
Yeah, that would be, you, if you're a real estate mogul like that, essentially, you'd think you'd have some of your own properties.
Yeah, and if you watch Miami, Brittany and I were discussing this, not a surprise. One time she had all of the ladies over with their boyfriends or husbands, and he was so worked up about it, he had to go to the gym and sauna in their building and not join the party.
Oh, for
and
crying I'm like, out loud.
Okay,
so he
these
can't
two,
be around people?
That is, that
when
he
he's
knows.
Lying. Yeah. Okay, that is so weird.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Lori and Julia with Grant. We'll be right back.